All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, presented by WTP Sports. This is episode 17, August 23rd, 2017. All right, this week's episode is presented by RotoSurance. RotoSurance is one of the coolest things out there. It's actually insurance for your fantasy teams, so you can't beat that. Fantastic place. RotoSurance.com is where you want to go. If you give our keyword, which is WWP in all caps, WWP for Weekend Warrior Podcast, you get 20% off your purchase. You purchase individual players, and you take an insurance policy out on them. And then if they get hurt, you get your money back. You can do 100% back, or you can do 60% back, depending on what you want to do. It takes some of the drama out. If you draft a guy like AJ Green and you're worried about him being hurt, you don't have to worry about that anymore because he's going to be fine. It doesn't matter. Even if he does get hurt, you get your money back no matter what. And it doesn't even affect your league. So Keenan Allen is a guy that we talked about last week. I get burned on him all the time. If you get burned on Keenan Allen, you get your money back. Meanwhile, you've drafted Keenan Allen in the third or fourth round, but you can take an insurance policy out on him. Maybe he doesn't kill your team. You get your money back anyways. Somehow you end up winning your league. You get your league, you get the league championship money and your money back from RotoSurance. You freaking double dipping. You can't beat that. So again, RotoSurance.com. Use our keyword WWP for 20% off. So we had a nice show planned for you. We're going to talk about our picks for the last 8 weeks of the regular season in the NFL. And then something happened last night. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving got traded to the Celtics, in case you haven't heard. This might be breaking news for you. I would assume not, but it could be. You never know. Yeah, Kyrie Irving was traded for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and the Nets pick in 2018, which is... that's so tough to give up. But anyways, so we're going to be talking about primarily that this episode, because that's the way it goes. We will kind of give you our final standings for the playoff, for the regular season. We'll maybe highlight a few different things for you. And then next week we'll be talking about the playoffs in the NFL. But nevertheless, this week is mainly going to be Kyrie Irving. So justifiably so as well. So I wanted to give a quick shout out to MDOT and Core for the intro music and also MDOT for the outro music. MDOT is on Instagram and Twitter at MDOT Boston. You can find him on Spotify. You can find him on iTunes. His newest album, Ego with the Enemy, is awesome. Go check it out. Core is on Twitter at Core of EMS. And Core is with a K, so it's K-O-R-E of EMS. All right, there's that. For us, we have the same email and Twitter. So it's Weekend War Pod, WKNDWARPOD. So no E's in weekend, as you can see. So that's our Twitter handle, and our email address is the same. Again, Weekend War Pod, no E's, so WKNDWARPOD@gmail.com. So email us, send us a tweet, you know, maybe, or maybe you could be in a plane crash in the ocean and you could survive by finding an inflatable raft. After you survive the plane crash, you can wash up on a deserted island, and then pretty soon you can celebrate by being able to make fire on your own, which is pretty cool. You know what I mean? So you could also try to escape on your inflatable raft, but then fail. You have to go back, right? Maybe cut your leg a little bit. No big deal. You could make friends with a judge's grandson named Spalding. Sorry. That was a wrong movie. I apologize. You could make friends with a volleyball named Wilson. That's it. Eventually, you can escape the island on a raft and be discovered by a ship at sea after losing your only friend in the world, Wilson, which is kind of sad. Tearful moment. After trying to make a tough transition back into a world where everyone thought you were dead, including your ex, who's now married with a kid, slut, you could drive out and drop us a letter. One of the only things that inspired you to escape was our logo on that letter. And we'll meet you at the four-way intersection after you drop it off and tell you where each path leads, and hopefully you'll come back down ours. We'll give you some MDOT, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Get in touch with us. Simmons, no timeouts, gotta go. Williams, three. Yeah! Be better. You don't need to tune in. It's the show, bro. Put the game upside down like a snowball. Weekend Warriors, it's the podcast. What you call the commentary, kid?
again, looking for that sports talk. This is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike, cause we here all night. No time to stall, right? 2 seconds left, clutch shot, it's go time. Knuckles on the O-line, watch the losers go wine.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. I'm taking jump shots, get a minute, I'm out of breaking records like Bill Russell. Kid has got muscle, being polite when I'm patting this mic. You see the city of champs coming to victory dance, buddy. It's radio talk, so turn it up when it's on. We're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors, you'll need to
tune in. Okay, so as we said, huge trade happened last night, just kind of happened. And yeah, it was, I mean, just nuts.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was a fake Woj.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like, well, you know what someone said, which I thought was crazy, which I also thought was true, is like, we had all these trades that everyone thought was going to happen all off season long, and none of them happened. Jimmy Butler didn't happen. I mean, Jimmy Butler eventually got traded, but like, not where everyone expected.
And nobody was talking about Kyrie Irving.
Not one person. Because they were like, oh, there's no way. You know, there were rumors, but everyone was like, no way.
I heard more Klay Thompson rumors than I did Kyrie.
Right?
And I'm glad it worked out this way. But
yeah. I don't know if I'm glad, but it's interesting. And listen, at the very least, it's a good topic of discussion, right? I think you can look at it from both sides, and if you're a Cavs fan, there are Cavs fans that are going to really like this deal, and then there are Cavs fans that are going to really hate this deal. Mm-hmm. And there are Celtics fans that are going to really love this deal, and there are Celtics fans that are going to really hate this deal. And so,
and they're idiots. But we'll get to that.
Now, wait a second. Wait a second, okay? I don't know if they're all idiots if you hate the deal, right? But you're saying it was a no-brainer. It's basically
absolutely a no-brainer. It was a steal. Steal of the century. This is Danny's best work.
Now, why, though?
Why? Because you got Kyrie Irving, who's an elite point guard, and you didn't have to give up Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum.
But you did give up the
this
Nets.
Is like, this is like the Red Sox getting Chris Sale and not letting go of Benintendi.
Okay.
The Nets pick, the Nets pick means nothing to me anymore, because the Nets have no reason to tank. They look like they're much improved. They have a bunch of shooters. They're still gonna suck, but they're gonna win, you know, 30 games.
Yeah.
So
well,
that puts your
okay.
pick at 6 or 7, maybe.
Right.
Well, because there's other teams like Phoenix, Atlanta. They'll tank, but we also have the Lakers pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, provided the Lakers end up in the 2-5 spot.
Which I think they will.
Which, based on recent NBA history, the Lakers always seem to kind of come out on top of those lottery things. Just coincidentally.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But coincidentally. But the Leafs kind of pissed at Magic right now because of the whole Paul George thing. He's under investigation.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe. There you go. I'd be down with that. I'd be okay with that. Right? If they somehow ended up outside of that 2-5 range and then somehow through the lottery ended up inside the 2-5 range, I'd be okay with that. I'd be
alright. What do you need another pick for? Like, the team, I think the rebuild's complete. You don't need that other pick. We're just so addicted to having Brooklyn picks that we just can't let them go. And now's the time to let it go. We got Danny Ainge traded KG and Paul Pierce, and he got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving out of it.
Yeah, well, I was looking at a, and I'm gonna have to pull it up on Twitter in a minute, but I was looking at a tweet earlier, and it was like it broke down what we got from every trade, and Isaiah Thomas did not come in the Rondo trade, but the Rondo trade got you Jay Crowder.
Yes.
And it got you, I think, another draft pick as well. That I think it was Nadir, first, I believe.
Yeah.
Nadir came from that trade. But either way, you know, it was basically KG and Paul Pierce, right? You get the 3 Nets picks for that. We got 4 Nets picks for that, with James Young being the first one. But
yeah.
But you get the 3 Nets picks from that. And then, you know, you have this situation where you got to trade Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas. So it's basically, and it's not, because you had to trade, I forget what they even traded to get Isaiah, but it was a bag of garbage.
Yeah, it really wasn't much. Yeah.
But, you know, you basically trade those 3 guys, and you got the 3 guys you have now, which is Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving. And I, look, I understand. He's the only problem that I have, okay? How much better is Kyrie than Isaiah Thomas.
Much better.
Well, and so that's the argument, right? If you think that Kyrie is a top 5 to 10 player in the NBA, and you think Isaiah is a top 20 player in the NBA, mm-hmm. then you're saying, I don't care what we gave up. We gave up Jay Crowder, who was going to have severely reduced minutes anyways.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I read today, and I'm assuming it's true. I don't know why someone would be reporting it if it wasn't, that Jay's mom died yesterday, which is just awful. And obviously, you know, makes it worse that now he gets traded and leaves. Now, whatever. I mean, that's inconsequential to him as far as he's concerned right now with what's going on in his life. But
bigger stuff going on.
But even still, you know, he likes it here. He's enjoyed it here. You know, he lives here now, or at least during the season he lives here now. So now he's got to, you know, kind of pick everything up and move to Cleveland, you know, in the middle of this whole thing going on with his mom. So obviously that's terrible, you know. But I think it was – I think for Crowder as a player, it was time. It was just time.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the Jay Crowder hate drives me up the flipping wall. It just drives me up the wall because he's not a great player. Like, if you are watching Jay Crowder and you think he's a great player, you're stupid. You're an idiot. Like, he's not a great player. He's not supposed to be a great player. Like, that's not who he is. So if you're expecting him to be a great player, then you're putting these expectations on him that he doesn't deserve, because that's not who he is.
He's a perfect role player.
He's a fantastic role player. If he were coming off the bench for the Celtics, if he were the Celtics' sixth or seventh man, probably sixth, but sixth or seventh man, you would love that guy.
Yeah.
Because he would come off the bench, he'd bring energy, he'd hit some shots every now and again, like, he'd play tough defense. That's the type of guy you would love, but because he was a starter, you wanted to be an all-star. And that's just not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he is, if they, you know, if Cleveland wins, now, we'll get into the whole discussion about Boston and Cleveland this year, but if Cleveland wins, Jay Crowder is going to be a big part of that happening. He's going to be coming off the bench in Cleveland as opposed to starting. That's going to help him, and he's going to be an asset off the bench for them, and he's going to make a difference. And you're going to look at it and say, wow, he gives them 15 to 20 good minutes a night. Yeah. And that's exactly who he is, and it's who he should be.
Yeah. My thing is that this whole thing is kind of a testament to Brad Stevens, too.
Right.
Because you think about it, he took a sixth man in Isaiah, another role player in Jay Crowder, and essentially, like, made them better in his system. And I don't want to say, like, deceived Cleveland into trading Kyrie Irving for them, but, I mean, these guys in any other system aren't as good, and they're not putting up the numbers they do, especially Isaiah.
Well, they're both role players, right? I mean, like, Isaiah, I think, has blossomed into something more than that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say Isaiah is overrated or anything. I think Isaiah is a great player, and he showed a lot of balls in last two and a half years that he's been here, especially last year. But I just don't think you can have him part of a big three or have him part of a lineup, a starting five as your starting point guard on a team that can beat Cleveland and go to the NBA Finals.
Well, that was always the concern for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we had talked about it last week, or not last week, over the last,
the first, like, you know, nine the first episodes. Few episodes,
right? When we were all talking all basketball. The question really to me was, what do you do with Isaiah next year? Do you sign him to a max deal? Do you give him a deal like Kyle Lowry got, 3 for $100? You know, like, what do you do, and is he going to be good enough for the next 4 or 5 years to warrant that big deal? And I was worried about giving him a max deal. I'm not quite as worried about Kyrie. I do think Kyrie is a better player than Isaiah Thomas.
And Kyrie's going to get paid.
He is going to get paid.
He's going to get Kyrie money.
He is going to get paid. And, you know, at that point, too, the money will be bigger anyways because it'll be 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? And so there'll be more money floating around there out there anyways. And here's what you have to consider as well. You have Horford right now, right? Horford's on a what? Four? Is it a 4+1 that Horford's on? Probably. It's usually probably, what most of the max deals are, right? So say he's got 4 years and then he can opt out, which he might and he might not. But either way, so he just finished his first year. This year is his second year. Next year is his third year, which means that at the beginning of that year, that offseason, when Kyrie is a free agent, you have 1 year left I mean, technically you have 2 years left on Horford, but he could opt out. And so you have 1 year on a player option left on a guy like Horford. Maybe he becomes trade bait.
Yeah.
And you trade that guy and, you know, Yabu steps in or whoever else steps in. Maybe you get the Lakers pick and that guy turns out to be a good player and he steps in at power forward slash center. And then Horford's gone because Horford's getting a little bit older. And then you can use that Horford money to then go out and sign Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving's on your team anyway, so you can use the Bird rules.
Yeah,
and
they have
like
the
that,
Bird
right?
Bird
so,
use for him, yeah.
But, you know, but this is it. I mean, think about this core that they have right now.
It's unbelievable.
The core is Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford.
Gordon Hayward.
Like, Marcus Smart, if you want to throw him in there. Terry Rozier. Like, they have a really, really, really strong core. And Hayward's, what, 27?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And Kyrie's 25.
Well, that's the thing, right? So now, look, here's the other thing that gets blown out of proportion. Everyone's been talking about Isaiah Thomas, 30 years old. Wrong. Isaiah's not 30.
No.
He's 28.
He's
28. So he's 3 years older than Kyrie. That's true. Okay. I think he was born in February and Kyrie was born in March. Either way. So they're basically exactly 3 years apart. So Kyrie's 3 years younger, which is fine. But if Kyrie can continue to develop and he hits his peak at 27... I mean, that's 2 years from now going into his max year. So we'll see. I mean, but shit, I mean, he could be disgusting. I just don't. It's tough for me because as happy as I was about the deal and as happy as I was to get a guy like Kyrie, it scares me trading away a guy like Isaiah Thomas and giving up the Nets pick because this is my thing, right? And I know you say, why hold on to these draft picks and everything else, but. For me, you have Isaiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Nets pick. So Kyrie's better than Isaiah and the Nets pick together.
Right.
Right? So what if that Nets pick ends up being one or two and that guy's dominant? Now, is he better than Isaiah and that dominant player?
Yeah, but you see, you have to take years to develop that guy. Into a dominant player. I mean, no rookie comes into the league and is a top 10 player. You know, I think they, you know, it's kind of a window thing, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, maybe you say, so you make the argument, and we had made the argument with Porzingis, and I remember making the argument with Porzingis, if you were trading for Porzingis, you could give up a lottery pick because the rebuild would be over, because you'd have Porzingis, right?
Right.
But what I wasn't considering was IT would be gone as well. Right, so now the thing for me is that okay, you have this young core, but you know Tatum's not ready yet. I don't know if Brown is totally ready yet, and Hayward is there, right? So you have Hayward, you have Kyrie, you have Brown, Tatum, and Horford, and I don't know if that's good enough yet. And maybe it will be. And then the good thing is that you know Hayward is 27, Brown's what 21. And Tatum's
20.
I mean, it's like stupid how young the two of them are, right? So it's like you have two really young guys in them. You have Kyrie, who's 25. You have Hayward, who's 27. And Horford's like 30, I think. So they still have a fairly young team. So you can still kind of grow with that team a little bit. It just scares me. It scares me a little bit, making the deal. The other thing is, Isaiah, any of you people out there, that burned an Isaiah Thomas jersey, like, jump off a bridge. Like, well, don't do that. Make sure there's water underneath you, and don't let it be too high. But, you know...
Don't do it in the winter, for crying out
loud. Right, exactly. That would be really stupid. But, you know, like, just for, like, a second, be like, holy crap, this is a really bad idea, and then you hit the water and you're fine. But
now,
you know, but
if it's a Detroit Pistons Isaiah Thomas jersey, burn that bastard.
That's true. Good point. I like that. Yes. That Isaiah Thomas, totally fine to burn his jersey. You know what would be even better? If I were a Knicks fan, I would make an Isaiah Thomas Knicks jersey just to burn it. Because fuck that guy if I were a Knicks fan. But I'm not, so it works out well for me. But if I were, I'd be really fucking pissed. But either way, if you don't fucking love Isaiah Thomas after last year, like, I don't know what the I have nothing for you. I have nothing else for you if you don't love Isaiah Thomas after last year. What he gave to this team... What he did for this organization is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, his fucking sister, his little sister died And he played a playoff game the next day, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and he was the only guy who showed up in that game.
Right? I mean, like, Jesus Christ, you know? And the rest of the team was like, oh, you know, maybe there was stuff going on with... Like, are you kidding me? The guy that the Sisters died, he fucking showed up and played, and the other guys didn't?
Yeah.
Like, you can't... You know, so he does that. Then he fucking smashes his face and loses a tooth and goes through, like, a six-hour oral surgery and doesn't miss a game. Doesn't even come out. He breaks his fucking tooth and stays in the game.
Yeah.
Like, the guy was a warrior.
Oh, yeah. He'll always have respect around here.
Right? Absolutely. And so that's the thing for me is that anyone that's sitting there celebrating, saying, we just got Kyrie, I don't care about Isaiah Thomas, like, you're an idiot, first of all. Like, respect what Isaiah did for you. I would respect what Jay Crowder did for you, too, because I think he was a good player.
He had some big shots.
Yeah, and again, the expectations were higher than they should have been for him. However, he was still a good player for us.
Yeah.
You know? And so you kind of have to take the good with the bad. He wasn't what we want, what maybe what some people wanted him to be, but he was still a good player, right? Obviously not on Thomas's level, but anyways. So that's what I have for Isaiah Thomas. If you don't have love for Isaiah Thomas, you're an idiot. So we'll just
and you know what? It's not all that bad for him because now he gets to go play with the best player in the world.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, right? We didn't ship him off to fucking Siberia. Like, he's playing in Cleveland, which in the NFL would be a death sentence.
Yeah, no kidding.
But in the NBA, it's a good thing. So, you know, until this offseason when LeBron leaves to L.A. However, here's what I was thinking. Follow me on this one a little bit. What if LeBron likes playing with IT? Mm-hmm. And he says to IT, I'm going to L.A. and I'm taking Paul George with me. Come with us and play.
Well, then
right?
The Lakers would probably say, well, Lakers or Clippers.
Well, I don't know.
Because you got that whole Lonzo thing. I don't think LeVar would take too kindly to that.
Yeah, well, fuck LeVar, dude. I mean, I'm sorry, but Isaiah Thomas is a better player than Lonzo Ball.
Right now.
Well, yes,
but I think
right
like
now.
2 or 3 years from now.
Well, you think LeBron gives a shit about 3 years from now? LeBron wants to fucking go to LA and win a championship that year. Is he going to do that with LeVar Ball?
Well, not LeVar.
Certainly not LeVar Ball. Is he going to do it with Lonzo Ball?
LeVar would tell you differently.
We'd be like, man, put my son on the bench. I'll go out and play with you.
I don't know. Let's actually watch Lonzo
play.
Well,
I suppose, right? He hasn't actually played a game yet, so who knows? I don't know. That's the only thing that I just look at it and say, maybe that's what happens. I don't know. I don't know whether that happens or not. That's just something I kind of threw out there in left field. We'll come back to that maybe. Later
it
on,
is interesting
because happens.
I think Isaiah is he's a free agent
after this year.
After
correct.
This year, so
yep.
He's probably gonna be gone too.
Well, that's
someone's
the other thing, right?
Someone will pay him.
Money. Well, then the question becomes: I heard someone say this too. If LeBron leaves Cleveland, does Cleveland then turn around and give IT the max money so he stays?
No, they start over.
Right. I mean, that's what I would do.
They start over with the Brooklyn pick because that's gonna be that goes against my take. No, they start over with Well,
no,
but they'll have the Brooklyn pick,
but it's
which should
10,
be a top 10
It should
pick.
Be a top 10 pick, right? Yeah. I mean, so it'll have a top 10 pick. And so
they start over, and they have Derrick Rose and Jeff Green.
Oh, crushing it, dude. Crushing it. That, by the way, where's
Jose
trade?
Calderon,
where?
Who has the three-throw percentage record for a season. He hit like 98% of his shots one year. Isn't that crazy?
And he still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jose Calderon.
Every player should shoot 98% from the line.
I mean, it's a free throw, for God's sakes, people. You're professional athletes. But, you know, whatever. Rick Barry could do it through his fucking legs. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless. So, all right. So here's my questions. And I wrote down a few questions here. You're obviously saying that the Celtics are better than they were before the trade.
Yeah.
Right? How much better is my question?
I say much better. I really do. I think Kyrie, he's not a top two or top three point guard, but he's certainly a top five.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
Because you got, what, Westbrook and Steph Curry.
Some people are throwing Harden in as a point guard, but shut up. Harden's not a fucking
point guard. Yeah, he's not a point guard. He's not a true point guard. So then you put Irving I'm probably forgetting somebody, but he's probably like the third best point guard in the league.
Yeah, I mean, some people might say Chris Paul, but I think Paul's over the hill.
Sucks.
Right, so I would put Kyrie over Chris Paul
finals.
For sure. Yeah, well, I mean, he's a point guard, so maybe you can't hold that against him. But, but I mean, even still, with the teams that he had, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What's his name was fucking hurt all the time.
Blake,
yeah. Blake was hurt all the time. So, you know, they never had a full team in L.A. But either way,
but I mean, that makes the Celtics a lot better. I think with Isaiah, they'd still be a good team, but I don't think they're that much better than last year's team. They don't get by Cleveland. If everything's okay in Cleveland and Kyrie and LeBron are getting along, it'll be the same result as last year. I think this gonna, I mean, it sucks that we had to motivate LeBron now.
Right.
And Dwayne Wade rumors, I heard.
Going back to
Cleveland. He might go to Cleveland.
That would be stupid.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I mean,
I actually heard that before the trade.
That Dwayne Wade might go back. Yeah. I mean, well, look, for D. Wade, I mean, shit, dude, would you want to be in Chicago or Cleveland? Like, hello, no-brainer there, but, like, he's got to get out first.
Yeah.
And, which I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, it's so funny because I was talking to someone about this today. I was talking to my neighbor about this today. The NBA is the exact opposite of the NFL. Like, the NFL, the executives and the owners have all the power, players have zero power. Yeah. And in the NBA, the players have all the power and the executives have no power. Like, right. Literally, if I'm an NBA player and I'm like, I'm not going to play, you're like, okay, I'm trading you. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. You're going to be like, well, I guess I have to trade you. I got no choice, yeah. Right? And if I'm an NFL player and I'm like, I'm not going to play, they're like, great, sit out. We'll just fucking sign. We'll just suspend you and you won't get any fucking money. You know, like, it's just... They have all the power.
That's the way the sport is. It's an individual sport
right.
disguised as a team sport.
Well, it is true. But what's interesting is that's the biggest difference, I think, at least, between the Celtics' big three, their recent big three, and any of the other dynasties that have happened after, except for the first Golden State championship. It was all done by the GM. Right, it wasn't like back channel deals, and LeBron was with his buddies, and like, hey, let's get together. Right, like, it was like, okay, we have Paul Pierce. All right, we're trading for Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, now we traded for Ray Allen. We're trading for KG, and they were like, I don't really want to go. KG didn't really want to come. Neither did Ray Allen. Right. Neither of them really wanted to come, but the Celtics made the deal. They got no choice. And so they brought in everyone, and then they kind of just, everyone put their ego aside once they were here.
Yeah.
But it was set up by the organization. It wasn't set up by the players.
Right? I think the Celtics are still in a situation like that now, wouldn't you say?
I would think so, yeah. It's not, I mean, like...
They got free agents, which is crazy, but...
Right. So the Hayward thing... But see, again, the Hayward thing is, maybe you could say the player decided he wanted to go. He was a free agent. He could do whatever he wanted, right? But... You know, he went there not because of other players. He went there because of his coach.
Right.
Right? But I just think, again, like that, you know, the whole LeBron thing where he sets the whole thing up and him and Bosch go, like, which is fine. I mean, that's, you can do that. It's just people kind of, it leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. That's all, you know?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's the argument that was going around then. It's, you know, would Jordan want to go sign with the Lakers or the Celtics? He wanted to go beat those guys, you know?
Right.
It's just a culture thing in the NBA now.
Well, and I think now guys are more worried about their legacy than ever before.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're more worried about winning championships.
Right.
Because they understand, if I want to be the greatest of all time, I have to win X amount of championships. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas LeBron could have played in Cleveland and never won a championship, and people would still look at him and say, he's probably the greatest that ever played because he's that good talent-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And they just never, ever put anyone around him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's really one of those things. Like Ray Bourque. Now, Bourque doesn't get the love that other people do, but he's still considered a great player, even though he never won a championship in Boston, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's like tough Marino. To find. Well, Marino, right? Yeah. Marino's the perfect example because he stayed in Miami his whole career, and they never built a good enough defense around him, but he's still considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Absolutely,
You know, never had a running game and never had a defense. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. But I still think, I mean, Marino... Yeah, there were definitely some issues with Marino, and I don't think anyone would say he's the greatest of all time unless they were a Dolphins fan, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in the discussion. He's top five.
Yeah, I would say he's top five.
Right? I mean, and so...
With some players, they're so great that, you know, because they didn't win a championship, you can't really take that away from them. You know, he's one of those guys. Charles Barkley is one of those guys, especially in modern sports. You know, back in the day, you had Ted Williams, Ernie Banks.
Right.
Old ball players who never won a championship. But
well, and again, it's different back then because no one changed teams.
Right, yeah.
So if your team sucked, you were just stuck because there's nothing you could do, right?
Yeah. And Barkley chased championships.
He did. Yep, he did.
He just ran into Michael Jordan.
Yep. So. Yeah. So, okay, one more. We got a little out of traffic here. Do you think the Celtics are better than Cleveland right now?
Right now, on the high that I'm on, I want to say yes, but realistically, no.
Right? I mean,
no. It's close, though. It's closer than you think. Well, and LeBron's the X factor there because Cleveland has the edge with, you know, if you want to go by starting five,
right.
Cleveland has the edge in center, I think. Yep. Tristan Thompson's a better center than Al Horford is.
Right.
I think Al Horford's a better, he does different things better.
Right. Right.
Power forward, if you want to say Marcus Morris is the,
I mean, power looks forward, like he's the starter right now.
Edge to Cleveland because you have Kevin Love.
Right.
LeBron's better than Gordon Hayward, as good as Gordon Hayward is. Yep. He's not LeBron, so it's 3-0.
Right.
Shooting guard, if you want to, I think they're going to probably,
I think D Wade or even J.R. Smith. Say it's J.R. Smith.
Yeah, but say it's like on, like right now.
Right.
It's J.R. Smith and
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
I'd give it to Jaylen Brown on that one.
I do too, yeah, but
right?
J.R. Smith can be lethal.
But it's close. I mean, that's the thing, is it's close, right? And then you give the point guard to the Celtics, obviously, right?
But the coaches give that to the Celtics. The bench, I give to the Celtics.
Well, then Cleveland just got a big bench piece in Jay Crowder.
Cold pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Who is from Cleveland.
Is he?
Yeah.
It all comes full circle. Yeah. It's like a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Except we did it a lot quicker. That was like a 10-second Seinfeld episode.
No, the Celtics bench is better.
Yeah, I think overall it's probably better, right? But I think Crowder gives you something off the bench that they didn't have last year, I don't think. He's a good energy player off the bench, man. And
the Celtics have a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, they
Marcus
do.
Marcus Smart. I think Tatum will be one of those guys.
Well, right. Rookie, though.
Yeah, but
from
what I've seen in the summer
league. Yeah, I suppose. Okay. No, I mean, I'll give it to you. That's fine. You know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think for me, it's going to be really interesting on either side if the Cavs, I shouldn't say if, when the Cavs and the Celtics meet in the conference finals, because it's going to happen. They're going to be 1-2
when we meet in the conference finals. In the East.
Toronto. Probably, right? Like, no chance.
Well, they did get Kelly Olynyk, so.
Right, that's the Heat.
Oh, all right, yeah. I always thought, because he's Canadian. Yeah. Whatever. I thought he went home.
No. He went to Miami. So, yeah.
Where did Amir Johnson go?
Amir Johnson went to Toronto.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. Did, right? No.
No, he came
that's
from
wrong.
Toronto.
He came from Toronto. Where the hell did Amir Johnson go? Someone signed him to a stupid.
Oh,
right.
Philly's the third best team in the East.
Yeah, you're probably right. Philly might be the third best team in the East.
They'll be under 500, but I think they're the third best team in the East.
Maybe.
Well, I really do.
Because three quarters of their players won't play.
Well, no, what do you mean? Simmons will be ready.
Yeah, okay.
And Embiid should be ready.
Sure, yep.
They get Fultz. They're going to be a good team.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Celtics and Sixers.
Well, it's interesting because what's interesting to me is
that just got me excited.
Right? But those three guys have never played a meaningful game of basketball since high school.
Dude, they haven't played a minute together.
Well, think about that, too. Embiid was hurt his entire season in college, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't do anything. Ben Simmons didn't go to the playoff. Didn't go to the tournament.
To the tournament.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Fultz neither did Fultz.
Yeah.
So it's like none of those guys have ever played in an actual big game ever. Now, that's not saying they can't, but they've never played in one. So it's like it's interesting to see what will happen if they do somehow make the playoffs or they're in a playoff run.
Yeah.
You know, how they'll respond to that. So that'll be interesting. I think, to me, it comes down to the draft pick. That's the way I look at it, is it comes down to what happens in the next few years and the draft pick. Because if Cleveland still beats you, then you fucked up. Like
this
you,
year, no.
No, no, no. No, no, I don't mean just this year. But I mean over the next few years.
The draft pick will mean nothing.
But I disagree.
And I think the draft pick was insurance in case Isaiah gets hurt. You know, because he's...
No, which is true.
He has...
This
30-game season written all over him.
Well, and you're right about that, right? That's where it could go the other way, right? If IT misses half the season because of his hip flares up on him or something like that, then the Celtics are like, that's the best trade ever.
Right, and that's why they threw in the draft pick.
I suppose. I mean, but I would have loved to seen a protection on there, a number one or two protection on there. Something. You know, like, throw something Kyrie out there. Like, is, you know.
See, Kyrie's 25 years old. He's right. He's not even in his prime. He's been to the finals. He missed the first one, but he's been to the finals twice. He's had two great finals.
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, look, you're right, because when they were down 3-1, he kicked it into gear, and he's the one that got them going, right?
Well, yeah, him and LeBron, yeah.
And LeBron was unbelievable the whole series. But
without Kyrie in that series, they don't win.
Right, right.
And he hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah, he did. It's true.
Longest tenured Celtic, who is it?
Marcus Smart. Well, they got rid of... How about this? And this is where the NBA really comes into play. They got rid of 11 players. They were the number one seed last year. Not only were they the number one seed, they went to the East Conference Finals. And they lost 11 players. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable, dude.
Now, here's one thing that I've been thinking about is... I think they pulled the trigger too fast on the Avery Bradley trade. So knowing that obviously they didn't know that Kyrie Irving would become available, but if it were up to me, Avery Bradley would still be on this team. And I know he wouldn't be here for long. Yeah. But I think for this coming season.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think him and Kyrie in the backcourt would have been unreal. I would have loved it.
Yeah, okay, I see that. I can see that. Yeah, that's okay. That's an interesting point, because you're right. I think you are right that Avery could have been solid on this team. Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't traded Avery Bradley, then maybe they'd still have him. But again, the only problem with that is that then you wouldn't have a guy like Marcus Morris. Like,
you go find someone else.
So you find someone else, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean,
you up the ante on the deal and you get Kevin Love.
Right. You throw in Avery Bradley and Kevin Love coming back. Shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can see it. I mean, I can see it. I loved Avery. And again, I mean,
he's my favorite.
It's the same thing. Year. Like, you have Avery Bradley, you have Isaiah Thomas. I mean, dude, 4 out of their 5 starters from last year are gone.
Yeah.
80% of their starting five is gone. And it's just so, you know, the turnover is unbelievable from a year ago. And that shows you know, all these people that were out there saying, Celtics are close, and they're close to Cleveland, and they actually have a chance. Well, the Celtics are telling you, no, we don't. We didn't. Right. We know we didn't. And because we didn't, we're so sure we didn't have a chance that we're going to blow up our entire roster and start over, basically, is what they did.
What one seed does that?
It's unbelievable. But you know what?
How do you not build off of last year?
But that's what Danny... but see,
I love it. I think it's great.
It's awesome. And that's why Danny is so good, because... Mm-hmm. He can see that and say, okay, we're the number one seed. That means nothing.
And he has zero attachments to players. It's just like Belichick.
That's true.
I've read that that comes from when he played for the Celtics and Red wouldn't trade Bird, Parrish, and McHale.
Right.
And he had a chance to trade, I think, McHale.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it. Right. And, you know, the Celtics rebuilt for...
Forever.
For 10 years, over 10 years.
15, basically, right? And that was, what, 92 when Bird retired?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it cost them dearly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously they had some things happen, like Lenny Bias and Reggie Lewis and all that stuff. But, you know, but even still, if they had traded Bird or McHale or Parrish, like, they could have gotten some real stuff back. And that's exactly what they did with KG and LeBron LeBron and Paul Pierce. And that was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do.
How about Brooklyn, man?
Oh, shit, dude. Talk about,
we should give them a standing O when they play at the Garden.
I mean, like, think about that, dude. It's just, like, unbelievable. I mean, it was so funny this year. It was just hilarious this year to have the draft at their arena. Yeah. And they should have had the number one pick, and instead the Celtics are drafting it. Well, obviously, it ended up being Philly. But they had the number one pick, and they lost the number one pick because they traded for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Like, how many years ago? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Like, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. It was one of the dumbest trades ever, and it made no sense whatsoever. I mean, you talk about a fleece. That was the biggest fleece of all time. Absolutely. It made no sense at the time. It looks even worse now. Mm-hmm. It was awful. And I'll tell you what, there were people around here that weren't happy about it because they weren't seeing return anytime soon.
Right.
But I mean, patience pays off.
Well, that's Celtics fans, and they're not patient. Right. And it all comes from the KG trade.
It's Boston fans in general, right?
But it was the KG trade. You got KG and you got Allen.
And then you won
the championship. So now everyone thinks that a rebuild is one-off season.
Right. It's true. Which it is not. It is not, people. But,
it's not.
But Danny's done an unbelievable job, and if he wins a championship with this roster, he's up. I'm telling you, we talked about the Mount Rushmore of Boston people, period. He's on the Mount Rushmore. If he wins a championship with this roster, he's up there, baby.
He's on just the Celtics one or all of Boston?
He's on all of Boston.
Wrong.
You got to put him up there. Are you kidding me? Okay,
he won two championships, and he's been around since 2002.
But he won two championships. He totally gutted the franchise like three times.
Got to win a little bit more. If he wins five or six championships.
Five or six. That's lunacy.
And he's... Do you know who's on the Mount Rushmore, right?
Okay, so it's Bill.
Red.
And Red.
Yeah, and then...
Well, I don't mean players. I mean just like...
Executives. Oh, in the executives?
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't overtake Red.
Obviously not.
So you're going to put two Celtics up there?
Okay, Nate, give me a Red Sox. Theo, obviously. But that's who you're going to pick as Theo? Who are you picking from the Bruins?
The Bruins?
Harry Sinden? Come on, dude. Come on, you can't pick anyone from the Bruins. Pietro. Jeremy fucking Jacobs? No.
Milt Schmidt.
Come on, get out of here with your Milt Schmidt.
Milt Schmidt, he signed Bobby Orr.
That's exciting. But like,
it's exciting.
It's one guy, though, dude.
They're all one. No, I disagree. Danny Ainge, if he wins, how many championships does he need to win to get onto the tier of Mount Rushmore?
Dude.
He needs to become... Celtics need to be the team of the 2020s.
Say he wins two more, and he's got three championships.
No.
How many championships did Milt Schmidt's team win?
Well, he was part of all of them, besides the one in 2011. Well, it's different. Okay. Hockey's different.
No, but it's not, though. Yes, like, you're telling me championships, and then you're saying that... Come on. I mean, you're saying championships, but then... You're saying, well, hockey's different, so, you know, cups don't really matter.
See, I'm not going to put Danny Ainge up there for two championships.
I don't know.
I think he's a great GM and a great executive, but I can't put him on the all-time Boston sports Mount Rushmore. I could do more research, but, I mean, Milt Schmidt might not be up there, but, like, I can't put. I think you're nuts.
All right.
It's just a hot take.
What about Tom Yockey? We could do that.
No. No, he should have. All right. A quick take on the Tom Yockey thing. We didn't win a championship for the 70 years his family was the owners. I think he doesn't need a streak.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. No, he probably doesn't.
I mean, yeah, thanks for, you know, all the charity stuff, which is awesome.
Right,
Jimmy
Fund and everything
else,
right?
Yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from him and his family for that. But.
Well, so why not? So see, this is why I don't understand. Why not rename it Jimmy Fund Way?
Why not just do it that way? That's one option, yeah.
Right, because then you're still...
It gives more publicity to the Jimmy Fund.
Right, and you're still honoring... Because didn't Yockey start that foundation?
Yeah.
So then you're still honoring him and his family, but instead of it being Yockey Way, it's Jimmy Fund Way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with that, and I think it would be a really cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. Instead of naming it after fucking David Ortiz. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Don't do that. You know, I mean, I get it. I love
he
David
has a
Ortiz.
Big smile and
everyone
he hugs
loves
everybody.
David Ortiz, but like, come on. You don't have to name the street after
him. We're going
to
name the city after him.
Oh, God. Anyways. I digress. But so the IT Kyrie trade is interesting. It is. On all sides, both sides won, both sides lose. It just, honestly, everyone, it's like there are people in Cleveland that are super happy and super pissed, and there are people in Boston that are super happy and super pissed. And then there are people in either city that look at it and like, that's a pretty fair trade. So we'll just have to see what happens. It's really going to be... It's one of those. I'm telling you, that's what people feel. Now, whether they're right or not, you can judge.
No,
people
it's kind of the opposite
right
reaction.
Not,
I think in each city, like if I were in Cleveland,
yep,
I would be pissed,
dude. I'd be so fucking happy if I were in Cleveland, dude.
Really?
You have no idea, dude. Kyrie said he's not showing up. He's not reporting. He's not gonna play. So
I
you
know,
have
the,
to trade.
I know
him.
You have to trade him, but just the idea, of, and also this is what we got.
Yeah, what?
We just beat these guys by 50 points a game in the playoffs.
No, but I understand that, but you have LeBron.
Right, but I think they should have traded him earlier, Irving.
Well, maybe they should have, but now he's trying to shoot his way out of town, so you got to get rid of him. And everyone, by the way,
God, they missed an opportunity there because they could have got Paul George for Irving, like in part of like
they a probably could have, right? You're right, they probably could have, but so maybe sucks, they get Paul, huh? They would have gotten Paul George instead. So maybe they screwed that one up. But if I'm a Cavs fan and I'm in this situation right now, and I'm looking at that saying, well, Kyrie's definitely not coming back, and everyone in the league knows he's not coming back. And there's been no talk about Kyrie going anywhere except for Boston, which I thought was unrealistic. Weird, yeah. I was like, there's no way he's going actually coming to Boston because Boston wouldn't do that. And he gets traded to Boston. And you get Isaiah Thomas, their best player last year, Jay Crowder, a good player coming off the bench, and a fucking top 10, possibly top 5 pick next year. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
Like, that's a hell of a trade for a guy that you know is not going to be on your team next year. And everyone else knows that, too.
I mean, yes, that is a good deal for Cleveland, but I would think if I'm a Cavs fan and I think really highly of Kyrie Irving because I'm watching him every night, I'm not like overrating him, but like the way that we overrate every player.
Well, right. Everyone, you know, it's natural to do
I would
that,
be,
right?
I would be hoping that we would get something better than...
And I'm not saying that what they got was better than what Kyrie is, but all I'm saying is that... Look at the situation they were in. They were backed into a corner. They had no shot. They had no leverage.
They fired their GM on draft night.
They're fucking stupid. Anyway, whatever. I mean, LeBron runs that team anyways. But as the GM, or as a team, as a fan base, I'm looking at it saying, holy shit, dude, what the fuck is going to happen here? Because is Kyrie going to be back? Is he not going to be back? I have no idea. So you start to look at it and you say, okay, well, I guess Kyrie's going to be back. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. But... He's saying he's not going to come back. So that means we have no leverage whatsoever. And if we have no leverage, then what the hell could we possibly get for him?
Yeah.
And then you end up getting back what they got back? Like, I would be ecstatic about that. I can see it
that way, too.
You know what I mean? And not that you're going to be as good as you were last year. Maybe you won't be as good as you were last year because you don't think as highly of IT and Crawford. I keep fucking doing that. IT and Crowder. But that's fine. But even still, you have to be happy with what you got back, knowing you had zero leverage over anybody, right?
Right.
So,
yeah. Anyways, I think they just missed their opportunity.
You're right.
They could have traded.
They could have gotten more. Yeah. You definitely could have gotten more. Yeah. You're right about that. If they hadn't done it, if they hadn't waited,
like the value, the trade value.
But I don't.
Like who wins on that?
Trade value,
like the value, like I'm trying to do a football thing.
Well, I mean, I guess. Value-wise for the Celtics, if they're able to re-sign Kyrie...
Which I think they will.
Goes to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Because then you lock up Kyrie long-term. Right. You weren't sure if you were going to lock up IT. You don't know what the next pick's going to be. If you have a legit superstar and you can sign him long-term, you win that deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you can count it as a win for the Celtics if they can re-sign Kyrie. Mm-hmm. If they don't re-sign Kyrie Irving and it ends up being like the number one pick next year, well, that could be a mistake. Right, then you look at it and say the Celtics lost that trade. But if that doesn't happen, then Celtics win, I guess. So we'll go from there. Okay. Whew. All right. So
can't wait for our NBA preview.
Oh my god, dude, it's gonna be wild.
Opening night.
Opening night in Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. Holy shit, that's gonna be crazy. So I wonder what Kyrie's gonna get. Kyrie's gonna get booed like a motherfucker and drop 55. It's gonna be nuts. So, anyways. All right, so let's just quickly do some NFL stuff. Listen, we were picking games last. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we picked the first 9 weeks of the season. We went through and picked the last 8 weeks of the season after that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you our playoff teams. Instead of going through everything, we're going to give you our playoff teams. We're going to give you our worst teams as well. And then we'll kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So our playoff teams in the West, we'll start out West. In the West, at the number one seed is Green Bay at 14-2. So I said East. What did I say?
You said the West.
It's the West. Stupid. I'm thinking basketball still. In the NFC, number one seed is Green Bay at 14-2. Number two seed is Seattle at 12-4. And again, I said earlier I'm not high on Seattle. I'm really not high on Seattle. But look at their schedule. It's just too easy. It's too easy not. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, the rest of that division, they have them ranked by conference. There are 16 teams per conference. The rest of that division, 11, 14, and 16 in the conference. not a very good division. So, you know, that's part of it there. At number 3 seed, we had Tampa at 12-4. Number 4 seed, we had the Giants at 12-4. So, again, those are your division winners. 6-0 in the division, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. We had the Cowboys. In case anyone's wondering, people overrate the Cowboys like crazy. We had them 8-8. And we also had the Eagles 8-8 as well. Redskins 6-10. Sorry, Mike, but that's, you know, that's
what it's we all have. Right.
I mean, it's reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Number 5 seed, which is the first wild card team, is the Lions at 10-6. And the second wild card team is the Falcons at 10-6. And again, we talked about this division. We had the NFC South. We had Bucks at 12-4, Falcons at 10-6, Panthers at 9-7, and Saints at 7-9. So competitive division. That's probably the most competitive division we had in the NFC. So anyway, so that's the NFC. In the AFC, at the number 2 seed, we had Pittsburgh at 13-3. At the number 3 seed, we had Tennessee at 12-4. And at the number 4 seed, we had Oakland or LA. It's not LA. Yeah, it's not Las Vegas yet. It's still Oakland, right? Okay, so Oakland at 12-4 as well. Oakland actually was tied with Kansas City at 12-4, but they had the tiebreaker, so they got the division win. And then Kansas City was the 5th seed, and the 6th seed was Indy at 10-6.
Right. But we had Houston at 9-7, and Indy and Houston play against each other last week in Indy season. In the last week of the year, so that could kind of go either way.
Right, so we had Indy winning that game.
Yeah, because Indy's at home, and
so
we had out, them, picked the
exactly, right. We had them both 9-6 going into the last game of the season, and we had Indy winning that game at home against against Houston. The one team I left out there was the Patriots. For obvious reasons, they are the number one seed. We have the Patriots going 16-0, undefeated regular season. And honestly, it's not close. I mean, there's a few games they could lose. Okay, you look at their schedule and you say, okay, right away, Broncos doesn't look good. Sunday night in Denver, they always suck in Denver. Problem is, Denver's not that good this year. Denver's not a good team this year. And so if Denver's not a great team this year, you start to look at it and say, huh, well, if Denver's not a great team, then maybe the Patriots should beat them. And they should. They're coming off their bye week. They should win that game. The next game is the Raiders in Mexico. And the Raiders are coming off their bye week. And it's a tough place to play. But it's a tough place to play because of the altitude. The Patriots are already going to be in altitude. The last game against Denver, they'll be used to it. I think they win that game. They're better than the Raiders. The last game is the Steelers. And everyone's like, oh, wait a second. They get 3 straight road games. And the last one's against Steelers, which is true. One of them's against the Dolphins. It goes Bills, Dolphins, Steelers. So the Bills, they suck. The Dolphins, they suck. And I know the Patriots don't play well in Miami. I know that. But I don't care. And the Steelers, honestly, I can't even tell you the last time the Steelers beat the Patriots in the regular season. I can't tell you. I can't tell you the last time the Steelers beat the Patriots, period.
It's been a while.
Right?
I think Matt Cassel is the quarterback.
In 2008.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, come on. I mean, the Steelers are a good team every year. They're our number 2 team. But when the hell is the last time the Steelers beat the Patriots, right? So if you're picking the Steelers to beat the Patriots, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, to be totally honest with you.
Hmm.
Okay? So anyways, so there's that. So that's what we have. And if that happens, this the wild card weekend, if that happens, will be wild. Right? See what I did there? Wild card weekend. Right? So, that was good, right? So wild card weekend. Why don't you read it, Mike? Read the wild card weekend.
The AFC, I believe this would be the night game.
I would think so.
Would be Kansas City at Oakland. In Oakland.
Man, that would be a lot of fun to watch.
And the other game in the AFC, Indy at Tennessee. So you got 2 division games.
That'd be the Sunday morning game, probably.
Yeah, probably.
You think, right?
Put that in London. and then in the NFC, we would have Atlanta, defending NFC champs, at Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And then Detroit at the Giants.
Yeah, interesting. So so we have, in that situation, we have three divisional matchups, which is kind of crazy. NFC South, AFC South, and AFC West. And then we have the Giants playing against the Lions. Man, that would be, that wild card weekend would be a shit ton of fun to watch, man.
Yeah,
it would be a lot of fun to watch. And what's interesting is that Kansas City and Oakland play each other. I don't know if they played. Did they play each other last week of the season?
No, they don't. They one of them plays Denver. They play week 14 and...
Was it week 14? Week 7.
Week 7. Yeah, with the Raiders. No, they split... We had them splitting the
we had them splitting, right. The home team wins both games, right, is what we had.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, that's going to be a heck of a matchup. But, yeah, so that'll be – that's going to be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, if that actually happens, that'll be a lot of fun. Those playoffs will be wild and crazy with a ton of fun. And, again, in the AFC – and now here's the best part, right? Here's the best part of this playoffs, and this is why I pray it happens – just so you know, a little spoiler alert for next week. We have the Colts winning their matchup against the Titans. And the best part about that is the Colts succeed. And what that means is the Colts have come to New England to play the Patriots again in the divisional round. And it's just so much fun, dude. It's so much fun having Indy come here and just beat the ever living shit out of Indy in the playoffs every year. It's fantastic. And so I hope it happens. So anyways, I was like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, dude, we have to pick Indy to beat. I picked Indy to beat Houston the last week because they were at home, and also because it would set up them as a six seed to possibly play the Patriots in the divisional round. And I was like, we're doing that. It has to be done. That has to happen this year.
So, here I am thinking, right, because I'm like a wrestling booker. You would have Indy at New England in the divisional playoff games.
Right.
The divisional playoff game.
Yeah.
Probably Vinatieri's last game.
Holy shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fucking wild, yeah. Right?
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Imagine Vinatieri's last game and all the kickers field goals, right? That'd be kind of cool. That'd be like 25, be like 45-12.
He'd still get booed.
Yeah,
is that like the worst?
That's the worst fucking thing ever.
Thing in Boston sports.
If you boo Adam Vinatieri, like if I witness you boo Adam Vinatieri, I will fucking kill you. Like I will kill you, dude. Like, I will. Like, I may not, because I don't want to go to jail. But, like, I will figuratively kill you if you boo Adam Vinatieri. He is one of the most important people in the history of Boston sports. Forget about the Patriots. He's one of the most important people in the history of Boston sports. He's the greatest kicker in the history of the NFL.
You could make the argument that he belongs in the Patriots' Mount Rushmore.
You could, because they won all three championships basically because of him. Two of them were on last-second field goals that he made.
And all of them were... A 3-point game.
All of them were 3-point games, yeah. Right? And if he doesn't hit that field goal against Oakland, this dynasty does not happen. It doesn't happen. So if he doesn't hit that field goal, which in my eyes is the greatest kick in the history of the NFL,
absolutely.
If he doesn't hit that
field
goal, right?
And he made kicks.
No,
which is,
right? And
I
and
see all the time.
What's interesting is that Janikowski hit a 48-yarder as well in that game.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. It wasn't in those circumstances. It was not in those circumstances.
He would have hit one from 70. That guy had the strongest leg ever.
Is he still playing? He was the number 11 pick in the fucking draft.
Yeah.
The fucking Colts.
He's still around, isn't he?
Or the Raiders, I mean. I think so.
Yeah.
He's still kicking around. Huh? Yeah. Nailed it. That was good. So anyways. Holy shit, dude. That was really bad. Okay. So anyways. But that's what we have. So next week, we're going to give you the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Gee, I wonder how that's going to end. That's where we're going. Dude, I can't even talk about it. Can't do it. Not going to do it. I can't do it. So we'll wait till next week. I already have heart palpitations. You know the Giants are in the playoffs. Just don't even listen to anyone talking about it, okay? Okay, that's that. So let's go to, I think that's it. So let's go to this week in sports history. For this week in sports history, we have two of them. One of them is today. Not literally today, but from August 23rd in 1993, Fred the Crime Dog McGriff and David Justice hit back-to-back home runs twice in the same game.
Wow.
Which is wild. I think they were like the ninth cut duo to ever do that, which is pretty cool.
The game was probably on TBS.
The game probably was on TBS. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Like 7:05.
Yeah, probably. Actually, I mean, you could probably set your
love
fucking
watching
watch to it,
Braves
right?
Braves baseball.
Yeah.
Maddox, that was my boy, my favorite pitcher ever.
Glavin, dude. Gotta go with Glavin.
Like Glavin?
Ah, he's a Massachusetts guy, right? Yeah. You know? So, And then tomorrow, the 24th of August in 1989, Pete Rose suspended for life from baseball for gambling. Wow. Mm. What do you think, Mike? Do you agree with that? Because we haven't talked about that. Do you agree with the Pete Rose suspension?
But I think he should at least be on the ballot. I think you can still ban him and, you know,
and let the voters decide whether you should let him in or not.
Because essentially that's what they're doing with the steroid guys.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that's true.
They're not technically banned from baseball. No one gets banned from baseball anymore, but...
No, they don't. That's true.
It used to be like a every other year thing. Right. I mean, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. He's a hit leader. But I think you just make him pay his punishment by, you know, putting on his plaque that he was banned from baseball for gambling. He'll be in the Hall of Fame.
That's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting discussion. He has stuff in the Hall of Fame. There's stuff of Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, which I think is
hypocritical.
Wicked hypocritical. Mm-hmm. Either he's out or he's in. Like, it's that simple. You can't display his shit in the Hall of Fame and then say, well, we won't let him in the Hall of Fame, but his stuff is in the Hall of Fame. It just doesn't make any sense. And I get the argument that, well, some players aren't good enough to make the Hall of Fame, but their achievements are good enough to make the Hall of Fame. And that's fine. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to say this guy is banned from baseball and banned from the Hall of Fame, you can't then put his shit in the Hall of Fame. That's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think that's crazy. The one thing I will say is that in every clubhouse in the league, don't gamble on baseball.
Right.
I mean, it's like the one thing, don't gamble on baseball. And he was gambling. Now, maybe he was gambling as a player. Maybe he was gambling as a manager. And he says he never bet against his team, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if I bet on my team every night and then one night I don't bet on my team, what do you think? We're going to fucking lose. Like, everyone knows it. If I'm betting on my team every night and then all of a sudden one night I don't bet on my team, like, Pete's not betting on his team? That's interesting. Let's throw all the money in the other team. Because, you know, you look at it and say, well, why the hell isn't he betting on his team? Because he thinks they're going to lose. So then, therefore, you know, we're not going to do it. And then there's the whole discussion about everyone uses the argument about you burn your players out because, you know, you're trying to win games. And you're always trying to win games, but then you're trying to win extra money and this and that. And so it's a slippery slope to go down. It really is a tough slippery slope to go down. But to me, at least, I just look at it and say it makes sense that he's kicked out. But again, the Hall of Fame shit for me, it just gets me. That stuff gets me. Either he's in or he's out. And if he's out, then he's out. I mean, that's fine. If you want to say gambling is unacceptable and we don't accept anyone that gambles, period, end of discussion. And because of that, Pete Rose is never allowed in baseball, in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's fine. But then don't put his shit in the Hall of Fame and say, look at these great accomplishments.
Don't let him into ballparks. You know, like, they have him around for, I think, well, all-century team in 99. Yeah. Yeah. Fox has him on TV now. He gets to go to the World Series.
Right. I mean, if he's banned from baseball, he's banned from baseball.
Yeah.
Right?
I would just let him in just because I like Pete Rose. But what these guys, the steroid guys did, I think is a lot worse because those numbers will last forever.
Right.
Like, nobody hit 73 home runs in a season before.
Well, and that's true.
No one was dominant as a pitcher into their 40s like Clemens was.
Right.
You know, Nolan Ryan was good, but
we talked about
Nolan Ryan, I think, before.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's true about the one thing I will say is true is that it's not like he was using performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
It's not like his gambling allowed him to be a better player. That's not true at all, obviously, you know? And so I understand. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a really, really tough question.
It is,
But I look at it and say, I'm kind of with you. Like, at this point, like, just let the fucking guy in. Like, what
the
hell?
At least put him on the ballot.
Or put him on the ballot. I mean, that's the perfect...
All you have to
That's the best concession.
Let the writers figure it out.
Is to let the writers figure it out. And then if they don't vote him in, then you just wash your hands of it and say, hey, look, you didn't get in. What do you want us to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just 15 years. And that's exactly what they're doing with the steroid guys now.
Right.
Because they can't suspend them for life because it was all legal back then.
Right.
So now they're getting their punishment now.
But Bud Selig can get in. Bud Selig, he's in for sure. That guy deserves to be in, even though he looked the other way in all the steroid use. Never wanted testing. Never did testing. And, you know, now we won't let the steroid guys in, but we'll let Bud Selig in because he saved baseball. Right?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fucking Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa saved baseball because they were roided out of their fucking minds.
Goddamn right.
Okay? So, like, you know, I mean, and he let that happen. And fine. He recognized that he should have let that happen, and he did. But, like, don't celebrate the guy for recognizing steroid use is good for baseball.
Let him in. Put it on the plaque.
Right?
Put on the plaque that there was a strike and that they canceled the World Series.
Oh, God. Right, dude? Oh, Ken Griffey Jr. was
there was a tie in an All-Star game.
Oh, God.
In your own stadium, the stadium that you built.
Brutal. Brutal. I mean, just yeah. Man. Yeah, some bad things about Bud Zeeley. Mm-hmm. But anyways, all right, so, Warrior one to watch this week. There's only one, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Mayweather-McGregor, that's it.
Are you going to watch it?
No.
I want to, but I probably won't.
Is it $100?
It's $100 for HD. It's $89 for...
just spend the extra $11. I mean, what the fuck, right?
You can go watch in a movie theaters for $40. Right. It'll be on in bars and stuff.
Well, and
I already know what's
going to
happen,
so
why go watch it?
Right. I mean, I think Mayweather's going to win, and I think it's going to be a long, long, long fight. And I can't do it. I'm not into that. I can't do that. It's not good for boxing. It's not good for anybody.
No, it's definitely not good for boxing. Boxing's stupid anyways. And they'll give McGregor $100 million a fight now. He'll never fight in UFC again.
Right? Now, listen, here, interesting take someone threw out. What if McGregor, right, was like pissed at Mayweather and fucking wanted and was just like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to fucking end Mayweather. I don't care what I have to do. So they said, if he loses, if he throws anything other than punches, they take all his money, right?
Yeah.
What if McGregor's people go out and bet Mayweather first round, right? Just bet a shit ton of money, and he just fucking attacks him, throws him on the ground, and just fucking bashes his face in, right? Yeah. He gets disqualified, loses all his money, but then he wins all this money because he bet on Mayweather in the first round.
Yeah, but you don't win anything. You have to pay. Some guy bet $800,000 on Mayweather. He's only going to win 100 back.
No, I know. I mean, look, it's stupid. But it was a theory that I heard. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. It would be funny if that happened.
One idea that I liked for this fight was first 11 rounds boxing rules goes to a 12th round MMA rules.
That would be wild, dude. Mm-hmm. I would pay for that. Yeah. I would pay for that. I'm not paying for the regular fight, but if it got to the 12th round and it was MMA rules, dude, I would go nuts, dude. Because you know in the 11th round, Mayweather is just throwing fucking everything he's got because he knows if he goes to 12th and it's MMA rules, he's fucked, right? I mean, like, that would be cool.
It's just, I don't know what I said a couple of weeks ago when we talked about it, but I don't know. The more I read about it and watch things, I don't think that, just hearing stuff from McGregor's camp where Paulie Malignaggi, whatever his name was, his sparring partner, they put out videos, like 10-second videos of Mayweather, I mean, McGregor, I'm going to get that confused all the time, but if McGregor punched him, he looked so slow, and I don't know if it was just for the video, but he's not going to touch Floyd. Floyd is so fast. I would love to see Floyd get knocked out.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Everyone wants to see that, right?
But I don't think Conor McGregor is the guy. I'd love it if it was, in a way, I guess. But it would just... whatever dirt isn't on the grave of boxing would be thrown on it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though. If McGregor if McGregor actually were to beat him, then he could save boxing. Right? He would be the next guy.
Yeah, I think either way, he's going to be the next guy.
I suppose, that's true. But, I mean, if he doesn't land a fucking punch, if he doesn't land a solid punch on Mayweather, how could he be the... like, how could you then turn around and be like, oh, here's the next guy,
well, that's the way
the
that boxing
guy,
thinks.
Right?
Boxing thinks really highly of Mayweather. And, I don't know, I think if I'm McGregor and I'm getting paid $100 million to fight Floyd Mayweather, I'm not going to go back to UFC where I'm going to get paid $5 million.
Well, I agree with that.
To get my ass kicked.
That's a good point.
So I don't think he ever fights in MMA again.
So, interesting.
Which sucks for UFC because now who's their top draw after
this?
Dude,
UFC has to do Brock Lesnar and John Bones Jones. They
gotta
do it.
Not going to happen. John Bones Jones got suspended again.
I know, but when he comes back,
in 2 years, and by then Lesnar will be 44.
He can suspend it for 2 fucking years.
Well, that's not official, but that's the usually the.
Don't be stupid, dude. Suspend him for like 6 months.
No, it's the Olympic Committee or like the USADA, the drug committee that does Olympic testing.
Well, but how stupid? How fucking stupid is the UFC to test after the fight instead of before?
They have to do that.
But why not test before the fight?
I don't know if they do. They do something else before the fight.
It's just bizarre. It's weird. But anyways, I don't know.
Well, why that way they can have the fight and
right. But that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. They make their money and then they're by the way,
it's carny stuff. It's all pro wrestling, boxing, right. Carny stuff.
Oh,
it's
by
all...
the way, John Bones Jones, he didn't win any more of this game.
Yeah,
it's like what? So, anyways.
Well, I feel bad for Daniel Cormier because it's twice he's lost to John Jones and both times he's on roids.
Well, I mean, he gets the belt though, right?
No, he gets. He has to fight. I think he has to fight someone else to get his belt back.
What the fuck, dude? Well, anyways.
Poor guy.
All right. Oh, I don't feel too bad for him. But anyways, that's that. That's all we got for the episode. And yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it. And next week we'll be back with our playoffs, and we'll go from there. And then, dude, it's fucking football season.
Yeah.
Next week is week four of the preseason, and then. It's fucking football
potential
season.
Super Bowl preview.
In potential week four. Super Bowl preview in week four. Don't even talk about it. Don't even do it. Don't even fucking do it. Okay, I can't. I can't. I won't fucking sleep for 2 weeks. Okay, I can't. I just can't do it. We have to get out of here. All right, people. We will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see. What the? I can't even talk now, dude. You're fucking me all up, dude. I'm rattled. Okay, I'm rattled, people. Fucking Giants. Anyways, we'll see you next week. We'll play out with Zemenda.